The Old Testament reading from Job chapter 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. He said, "Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what word's footing set, or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? When I said, 'This far you may come and no farther. Here is where your proud waves halt.'" This is the word of the Lord. In the gospel reading from Mark chapter 4, "That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat, and there were other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves break over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even and the wind and the waves obey him.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, "Because I said so." You ever use that line? As a parent, as a professor, as an administrator, as a budget director, "Because I said so." It's really a non-answer. Shut up and you have to do what I say because of my position and my authority. But interestingly, it's one that God also uses when he responds to Job's questions. You don't need me to run through the story of Job, his riches to rags story. The guy who had everything, money, family, land, and ended up with nothing, all because God allowed the devil to have his way with Job. And Job responds to these tragedies the way all of us have responded in similar situations at one time or another. Whether it's when airplanes crash into buildings, or hurricanes hit the coasts, or the car rams into the side of us, there's illness, failure, loss. We ask the same question that Job and his friends spent 37 chapters asking: where is God in all this? Why is it happening to me? If I am a child of God, doesn't that mean that I've got the big guy on my side now? That everything should go okay with me? And heck, we're at the seminary. If God is going to look out for anybody, it should be us, because we're definitely on his side, no question about it. But finally, at the end, after Job and his friends have blown all their smoke and we blow all ours, God responds. Job chapter 38 is this non-answer that God gives to Job. Did you catch how it went? God being sarcastic with Job. "Were you there when I put the foundations of the earth? Were you there when I told the waters that they could go this far and no further? Who are you to ask anything of me, because I am the creator and you are merely the creature, and I can do with you whatever I want?" Just a couple of days ago, well, 4 days ago now, the city of London observed the one-year anniversary of the bombings in the underground and on the bus that killed 52 people. Reminds us that it's been almost 5 years ago now that the same thing, the bombings happened in New York City and in Washington. 3,000 people died. Christians, non-Christians, didn't matter. I heard an interview on the radio at the end of last week where various people were trying to answer the question, why did this happen? Could it be prevented? One of the people on the radio was a pastor, and he was asked the question, where was God in all this? And he responded, quote, I can tell you with all certainty that God had absolutely nothing to do with what happened on that terrible day. Did you catch that? God had nothing to do with it. And that might sound like a pretty attractive answer for us. We don't want to have God responsible for things that happened to us, but think about it for a minute. If God had absolutely nothing to do with it, where was he? Was he out on the beach drinking pina coladas? Maybe he was out getting a coffee break, or maybe he only visits New York City on Saturdays and London on Sundays, and the devil kind of slipped in. We like that kind of answer because it gets God off the hook. We want to believe somehow that the devil cheated or something, that God would never really allow this to happen, and of course he would never allow it to happen again. We can't believe that God would allow such struggles or hardships or tragedies, the things that we go through in life. Frankly, what that guy said on the radio is probably what we all wish to be true. But then again, after 9/11, there was 7/7. And after Katrina, there was Rita. It happens again and again and again. It's not an accident. Nobody cheated. We all have these Job-like things happen to us. I could list examples, but you know and feel them more deeply than I could ever express. The reality is, in spite of what people like Joel Osteen want to tell you, the promises given us at our baptism, the promises of forgiveness and eternal life with God, are not a guarantee that we will never endure hardship or suffering in this life. In fact, quite the opposite. Jesus himself says in the Gospel of John, in this world, you will have trouble. Our friend Jeff Gibbs likes to say, put it this way, at our baptism, God picks a fight with the devil. That at our baptism, God claims us away from the one who would control us. And the devil throws all his assaults at us, evil throws everything they have against us. And like he did with Job, God leaves just enough rope on Satan's leash to wreak havoc in our lives as well. And when he does, we ask the same question that Job asked God, why? Well, I hate to tell you this, but Job didn't get an answer to his question. God simply reminds him that he is God, not Job, and that Job has no right to question God as creator. Who said to the waters, thus far you shall come and no farther? Here shall your proud waves be stayed? Not a very comforting answer at all. And we probably accept it just as much as your kids accept the answer, because I said so. It can be rather discomforting to know that God allows the storms to happen. But this, and hear me now on this is not God's final answer. Fast forward many hundred years later, after Job, to a day on a lake in Galilee. Nice summer day. Jesus had been working hard telling parables. Get away from the crowds a little bit. The disciples take over. They're going to cruise across the lake. They're fishermen. They know what they're doing. Jesus takes a little nap in the back of the boat. Nice, serene scene going on. Everything's pleasant. And then the storm blows up. The waves crash into the boat. It looks like it's going to sink. And the disciples ask the same question that Job asked God. Is it not a concern to you that we are perishing? And what does Jesus do? Well, he gives the same answer to the disciples that his father gave to Job. He said to the waters, thus far you shall come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed. And the wind stopped, and a great calm came. You notice he said nothing to the disciples. Instead, he spoke to the wind and the waves, and in so doing, told them who he was. Only by him does the storm come, and only by him is the storm stopped. On that day in Galilee, Jesus stopped the storm for his disciples. Will he stop ours? Maybe. I can't answer that question for you. That is God's alone to answer. But I can tell you this, that he has promised us in our baptism that we will never be separated from him, that with him is life. And whether it's in the storm or on a nice summer day, we are called to follow him. There's a painting by Rembrandt of this scene of the calming of the storm. Excellent painting. I wish you had a screen or something. I could show it to you. It's just this dark purple background, an open boat, 45 degrees across the canvas. At the front end of the boat, it looks like it's going to dip under the water. There's a wave about to crash over it. There's stuff flying everywhere. A couple of disciples are clinging to the side of the boat. One's hanging on a rope, swinging around like a monkey. The mast looks like it's going to snap. It's complete chaos, except in the back of the boat, at the back of the painting, sits Jesus. And there's no stuff flying around Jesus' head. He's sitting there looking like he's having a nice summer afternoon. And in fact, the sky at the back of the canvas, right where Jesus is, opens a little bit, and there's sunshine. And it's completely calm. I think Rembrandt understood exactly what this story is about. The further away you are from Jesus, the worse things look. But where Jesus is, there is hope. Do you look at the wind and the waves when the storm comes up? Or do you look to the God of the wind and the waves and the storm? If you look at the storm, there are only questions. Why? Where is God? But if you look at Jesus, you have only answers. Follow him. Because wherever he is, there is life and salvation and hope, no matter what comes. Are there storms? Yes, there are. Will they stop? Only if and when God wants them to. In this world, you will have troubles, Jesus said. But he finished that sentence, I have overcome the world. Apart from him, there are only storms. But with him and through him, there is life even through the storm. And so we keep on following. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.